Before we start this episode of the Playlist Podcast, I want to let you know we actually did a video version of this discussion, which is now posted on YouTube. So if you want to put faces to our voices and watch us discuss The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you can do so now. Just go to YouTube and search for the Playlist Podcast. Otherwise, just keep listening and you can use the theater of your mind, as they say. Thank you. Welcome to the Playlist Podcast, a weekly discussion of films and TV. I'm your host, Charles Barfield, managing editor of the Playlist. And for this episode, I'm joined by one of my regular co-hosts, Mike D'Angelo, as well as the Playlist editor-in-chief, Rodrigo Perez. Are you guys ready to talk about Black Falcon and his sidekick, Metal Arm Guy?
Better. That's a better title already.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
So better. For this week's episode, we're going to focus discussing Falcon and the Winter Soldier, finally. With the finale out now, we've watched all six episodes of the second Disney Plus series from Marvel Studios. And though it's less than 6 hours of TV, there's a lot to discuss when it comes to this series. But first, if you've somehow avoided the Marvel Studios marketing machine, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier picks up from the events of 2019's Avengers Endgame. In that film, Steve Rogers retires as Captain America and passes the shield to Sam Wilson, aka Falcon. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier then tells the story of what comes next as Sam Wilson wrestles with the idea of becoming the new Captain America, while his buddy Bucky Barnes, aka Winter Soldier, has to come to terms with his bloody past. All of this is happening as a new terrorist group known as the Flag Smashers starts to plan to disrupt the world's governments through the use of a resurfaced super soldier serum. So we're about to dive deep into the series, talk about the things we liked, the things we didn't necessarily care for, and the idea that somehow Marvel doesn't seem to know how to fully, truly, satisfyingly deliver a TV finale. But before we do that, let's gotta tell you that the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes Be Real, The Fourth Wall, Deep Focus, and more. And if you want to find us, you can check your podcast app of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, or anywhere else you find your favorite shows. So before we get into the discussion, I want to warn listeners, we're going to assume you've already seen all the episodes of the series because it's pretty impossible to get really into the nuts and bolts of the Falcon and Winter Soldier without really spoiling stuff. So we're going full spoilers, guys. So with that warning out of the way, let's just jump into it by skipping to the end, because I want to ask you two what your thoughts are about the series after all the six episodes, and also tell me if you guys think Marvel Studios stuck the landing with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or is this the second Disney Plus series that followed the same formula as WandaVision by stumbling across the finish line? So we'll start with Rodrigo. What do you think?
I don't think it stuck the landing, and I was pretty mixed on that last episode. Some of the series I really, really liked. I think my favorite episodes were definitely episode 1 and 5. I think that in many ways, just like WandaVision, and just like a lot of maybe, you know, Game of Thrones and a lot of prestige TV, is that the penultimate episode is where everything kind of really happens, you know? And then the final episode, even though they do throw a lot of action and a lot of those things on it, it's a little bit of a fait accompli. Let me explain exactly. Like, the show is about, to me, I don't know how you guys see the show, and I'm curious how you guys see the show. To me, the show is mainly the emotional journey of Sam Wilson to accept the shield. And it's a burden. It's a whole thing. He turns it down at first. And then Bucky doesn't understand why he didn't. And Bucky's got his own issues and he's got an emotional journey. But that emotional journey essentially comes to a close in episode 5, because he's finally like, for both of them, like, he's finally like, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, we see him practicing with the shield, all this stuff, but he's really come.
His Rocky montage.
Yes. Yes. And he's been grappling and he's been, you know, he's been having a lot of these issues. But I loved episode 5, and I love the way it was structured in that, like, you know, you thought that, like, many people probably thought like the big showdown was the him and John Walker at the end. And it's like, no, they put that right at the front. They got it out of the way, and then they got the shield and they came back to the US. And the whole thing then, to me, locked right back to episode 1 and right back into those ideas of struggling with identity and legacy and all the stuff that, to me, that's the good stuff. That's the meat, the heart stuff that I loved about the show. And so then, you know, by the end of it, you know, even with, you know, which I thought was really great, Falcon sort of teeing back to the Winter Soldier, Captain America one, where, you know, we first meet him. He helps the VA with PTSD suffers, and he's sort of helping Bucky in that way. And he's helping him come to his sort of like emotional journey of like, you know, you got to get past this. You got to start trying to move forward, and you got to accept who you are. And yes, you have a dark past and blah, 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 all that stuff. So that basically, but it comes to an end at episode 5. And then we see him open the, you know, the case, and we don't see him put on the costume till episode 6, but the journey is essentially kind of over. And then episode 6 is kind of like, then I put it on and I, you know, do all this other stuff. And yes, he's got a great moment with Isaiah. That scene is really great. But they're, you know, I think they're come to acceptance. They've come to terms in episode 5. So that's, to me, like, it's like, that's the climax. It's the emotional, you know, apex of the series. And then everything from there, like WandaVision in a way. WandaVision was episode 5, and then episode 6 was just like the big, you know.
Got to do the smashy smashy.
Yeah, Marvel movie.
That, a lot of smashy smashy that's not that interesting for both of those episodes, right? Like the kind of letdowns, even though they, you know, I think WandaVision had more potential to do more of an emotional ending. This one didn't really even have it so much. Although, so yeah, you know, like I think the way they're structured in a way is episode 5, penultimate. We've seen that in Game of Thrones a lot, right? You know, you'd always seen that the penultimate episode was the really, really big one. And then the final one, even if they did have action, there was a lot of aftermath, you know what I mean? Picking up the pieces, even thinking about the final finale of Game of Thrones, right? Like, you know, them announcing who's going to be on the Game of Thrones. It's aftermathy, right? It's like, so I think it's structured.
I try to forget that.
Yeah. Brand.
Right. Yeah, well, but yeah. Brand. So
best story, my ass.
Maybe it's a prestige television thing, but so yeah, did I explain? I think episode 5 is great, but that's kind of the true ending. And then they got to figure out how to make these final ones. I'm okay with that structure, like, you know, but they still trying to have these big crescendos and these big action to do's and smashy smashy, like you said. And I don't know, the episode didn't really come together to me in any kind of big way, other than I think the best thing was the Isaiah thing, which I think we could get into, and the power broker thing. Yeah. A lot. And then everything else, not so much.
Mike, do you agree?
I agree in that it's kind of like a win some, lose some. The finale of it all, it's hard to stick the landing with this stuff, especially, you know, this is their first attempt, you know, or first, you know, couple attempts at, you know, a real series. And this one felt more like the movies than anything. But if I were to, you know, set it up against the other Captain America movies, this would probably be my least favorite Captain America movie. Just because for me, I was missing like that Marcus and McFeely, like their writing was so solid, and how they tied everything back to the original all the time, and made sure that the themes really, really stuck and the endings really worked and the character journeys were like completely sold. And there were great moments on this show. Like, I loved a lot of characters. I felt like Sam's journey, obviously, you know, it's the biggest part of the show. It's what makes this work for me. Ultimately is Sam's journey. I felt like Bucky's stuff is a bit, except for that moment by the fire where he's finally free of the programming. I didn't feel like he was that great in the show. I didn't love his character. Carly or Morgenthau, I don't know. I didn't feel when she went like full malicious at the end, I just didn't feel like that was her, what they'd drawn us along to believe. But even that said, I still like a lot of the political and racial themes that they were touching on. It's great to see a Marvel project doing that. And so like blatantly, and a lot of, there were a lot of great lines, you know, having to do with that, especially in this last episode. But there were a lot of things that also just kind of fell flat, you know, like it was just like sloppy writing, like, hey, is that Black Falcon? No, that's Captain America. Like,
I want to really? Take you to task on that. I actually enjoyed that line.
I hated that moment.
I think people have been spoiled with the Marvel stuff in that it's so fucking good. Like, it's always good. And we forget that these are comic books and these are comic book characters, and they're allowed to say slightly cheesy things. They're allowed to have, you know, 4-minute monologues talking about, you know, the betterment of the world and stuff. I mean, I know the finale gets a lot of crap because the writing seemed kind of subpar compared to not just like other Marvel stuff, but just the series even.
Mm-hmm.
But I really the monologue that kind of gets crapped on a little bit with Sam fully accepting his Captain America role and speaking, you know, to the world through the media and basically reprimanding the governments of the world.
I didn't mind that. I thought a lot of it was pretty great, especially
it was
Anthony Mackie's part of it. I mean,
yeah. And could they have done it in different ways? Could they have, you know, maybe the show not tell of it all? Sure. But I didn't mind it. I thought this was kind of his like mission statement moment. This was him saying, you guys are used to Steve Rogers. This is me, Sam Wilson. I'm not Steve Rogers. I can't be. There's just no way. We've spent 5 hours discussing why I can't be Steve Rogers. So this is me kind of laying it all out there for the world. And I kind of dug it. That said, there were moments and throughout this series where I was just kind of like, okay, the mystery stuff of it, like the power broker stuff. I know Rodrigo liked that.
Did not land with me either.
Yeah, I could have done without power broker. I liked Madripoor. I thought that was kind of cool as a nerd. I kind of like seeing that. Yes, and it gave us Zemo.
I do want a Zemo show. Like, I would completely watch just Zemo.
Zemo is great, right? Like, they took this guy who seemed one note in Civil War and kind of was like an afterthought in Civil War, and they gave him so much personality. I thought that was great. But this, I just, you know, the finale's the finale. It was a lot of action. Having rewatched it, I noticed that the, like, I guess probably first 40 minutes of this show is just one big action scene. And that's a lot, and it's earned because you've spent 5 hours kind of building to it, but it was also, it was a lot. And then it kind of just all comes to a screeching halt, as the sun rises, basically, you know, and all these other, like, you know, it's almost like Return of the King, where it was like ending one, ending two, ending three, or the Snyder Cut, if you want to be more relevant, you know,
at least it didn't end like that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
to your point about the action, I know that they've really tried to be like, you know, one of the things that Marvel and Feige have said is like, you know, these are, you know, they've just kind of promised a lot, you know, like, this is going to be like a small screen thing. This is going to be the cinematic experience on TV and all this stuff. And they do that. But I really do think like, you know, you said 40 minutes, like, they can dial the action back. You can tell, like, and I don't think people will be disappointed, you know?
Yeah. The big moment of that finale was talking, like talking.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, the climax. And honestly, that whole monologue is kind of terrible. Like, it was
I liked it.
Really? I was just like,
I mean, it's very on the nose, right?
Like, so
it's
on the nose. And I think it was well intentioned and stuff, but I don't know. I was like, oof, this is so like spoon feeding everything and just going on and on. And I mean, I guess it, you know, was like Charles said, I think you were saying that its intention was to establish who he is and what kind of Cap he's going to be and stuff. But just like, it was so, it was like probably the worst writing of the entire series.
Yeah. And yet through Anthony Mackie, I was like, that guy can sell me.
That is, yes. Like, I mean, I think that's kind of how I felt. I was kind of moved because we were seeing a Black Captain America. I was actually, wow, I was like kind of moved. And at the same time being like it had the benefit of this like kind of special kind of thing that we've never seen. And we're kind of like, it's, and I love the Falcon and I love Mackie and I was sort of moved by this kind of moment that like, wow, I'm just kind of like really happy for him as an actor, as a character, for the whole thing that he's getting this moment. And at the same time, so it was like having this really strange, like I moved, and at the same time, I know this is really corny and I'm having this very weird experience right now, grappling with the two of those things.
Yeah. The thing that Mackie's so good at, I think I've said this to you, Rodrigo, in chat before, but like, I think the thing that Mackie's so good at, he's the prototypical Marvel guy. He's got that movie star looks, he's got the build, he's got the charisma, and he can deliver a quip. Yeah. Like he's the total package. And so even when he is given kind of those cheesy lines, somehow he sells it. Like somehow it comes off sincere. So, I mean, Lord knows that another person delivering that 4-minute monologue could have been, oh God, it could have just been like, turn off the TV bad. But with him, you were kind of moved. You're like, this isn't great, but like he sells it. So that's good.
Yeah. So I think that's probably the best accurate way to describe it, because I was like, I felt like touched throughout a few moments of the episode, and at the same time not really liking it and thinking like it wasn't very well written. Although, you know, I think the Isaiah stuff was genuinely very good for the most part.
I want to get into that actually, because a big part of this series was the introduction of Isaiah Bradley. We come to find out that Bradley is he was part of a post-World War II experiment where the government tested versions of the super soldier serum on Black soldiers to see if it could work. And most of them died. I think like almost all of them died except for Isaiah. And he was sent to prison for decades, I guess, like 30 years, he said. And then, you know, they effectively killed him off to the general public. And he just kind of lives in Baltimore with his grandson. And it was a part that it was being positioned as the heart of the show. And I want to know what you guys think. Is were they successful at delivering that story? Because it's a heavy story.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they 100% pulled off that part of the story. I mean, I'm trying to think of the actor's name.
Lumbly.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think he's fantastic.
Like, he was really good. He was really, really good.
He really sold that. Like, you don't really know how old he is, but that's a guy who could probably punch a hole in the wall. Like, I dug it.
Yeah. The only thing that was a bit disjointed is that he did not want what he ultimately got in the end. At least he told Anthony Mackie in the second to last episode. He's like, I don't want anyone to know I'm alive. Like, I'm going to die. Give me a day and I'll be dead. And then all of a sudden he takes him to this museum. It's like, ta-da. But
I want to know.
I mean, it was a beautiful moment.
Who did that sculpture is like the fastest sculptor on the face of the planet. Cause that was what, like a 24 hour turnaround time. That was incredible.
They had a mold.
I know. And again, that's just, it's Marvel, whatever. But Rodrigo, what'd you think of Isaiah? Did you think it worked?
I have two feelings on it. One,
you actually read the comic too, pulling back the curtain.
I read the comic before the series ended and I really, really liked it. And I think it was a great story. And I'm really, really glad that they borrowed from that and they adapted it for this, because there's some real power in that. On some levels, I wanted that to remain unresolved. I wanted in episode 5, you know, Isaiah is basically like, you know, fuck Captain America, fuck the government, and no respecting Black man is going to be Captain America. Like, and that's a hard moment, right? That's a hard moment for Sam. But Sam, and I think that's such a key kind of thing, is that, like, you know, this his mentor, this sort of mentor, this person is telling him, like, look, this is a raw deal. This is fucked. You shouldn't do this. This is a bad road. Like, all this is not going to be good. And no respecting Black men should do it. And Sam does it anyhow, because he just believes it's the right thing to do. And I think that's a really great writing thing. You know what I mean? It's not like the guy like pats him on the back and says, go, you know, take it. He says like, no, don't do it. And Sam does it anyhow. And that's a hard choice for him, but he believes it to be the right thing, the right moral choice regardless. Which I think is very a Captain America thing and very a Marvel kind of thing. Like, you know, making those difficult choices. And so in some ways I really wanted that to just stay like that. And that Sam would have to sort of live with that. And the idea that, like, you know, this guy is not giving his blessing, and you know, Sam just has to live with that sort of echo in the back of his head for the rest of his days as Captain America, that this guy wasn't down with it. I wanted it to stay like that. That said, the way they did it was quite beautiful and it was moving. And, you know, I kind of felt like, all right, they're really giving the way they're doing this. And you know, the way Isaiah has come to accept it is a kind of beautiful tribute to Isaiah. And the idea, even though it's just a fictional character and, you know, all this stuff, is like, it really felt like, okay, they're really giving this guy his, you know, it felt like this loving kind of effect. It was like almost like they were really treating him like a human being, like this were actually happened to him. And we wanted to give him a nice tribute and this sort of like affectionate thing, like a loving kind of like, thank you, even though he is a, you know, fictional character, but like they took it really seriously. But that's also the problem, I think, with that ending, is everything just ends so neatly and perfectly.
Yeah, right? I mean, you can't, again, it is a Marvel thing. So they are handicapped by that.
Yeah, but we have to stop giving them the excuse, oh, they're Marvel. You know what I mean? Storytelling is storytelling. You can do anything. And not everything has to end with a happy bow and neat and tidy. And as you were saying, actually, Charles, you and I are having this conversation, like Bucky's ending isn't quite tidy. Like, you know, he goes and tells that older Asian man that he killed his son, and it's the way it's depicted is kind of vague. But if you're really watching, you understand that that doesn't end well. And Sam's and Bucky's no longer in his life, and he watches from afar at the restaurant.
I was really worried that the waitress was gonna like come out and be like, "You did a good thing, Bucky." But I'm glad they pulled back from that. You know,
like that did not end well. So in that way, it was not very neat. But at the same time, the way that they kind of glossed over that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so everything landed very neat. Isaiah fell into place. Everything Sam fell into place for Sam. Bucky, not really, but they glossed over it in a way that it did. And then the only one who got sort of a kind of complicated ending was the power broker, which is why I like that. I can't say that I like that mystery in the power broker thing, but
it's not a mystery.
Yeah. Well, no, but nobody knew it was her, right? Like, but they didn't set it up as a mystery. They didn't set it up as a thing to be solved. Whereas
as soon as she said she had satellites, it was like,
okay,
power broker.
I kind of gathered when they first showed her apartment and she's like, oh, I'm just kind of a art dealer. You're like,
Sounds made up.
Regardless, I don't think it was set up as the big mystery that in the way that WandaVision was, in a way, because you kind of knew that someone was pulling the strings in WandaVision and you wanted to figure that out. This was not geared towards figuring out who the power broker was. It was not the plot of the show. You know what I mean? It was a sort of side thing that happened, because the power broker was not even the antagonist. It was the flag smashers, and they stole the stuff from the flag smasher or from the power broker. So that was in the background. I just like how it ended for her, because I saw some people specifically online that were saying like, oh, you know, they really screwed Sharon Carter over. And I think the exact opposite. I think like, wow, they've given us this great opportunity. They've really started to like do something complex and different and for her. So I really like where they landed with her. Yes, she's no longer a good guy. But I totally buy giving her story, what happened to her, how she got fucked over, how she landed on being who she is now. You know?
Yeah, I think that's the theme of this whole show, right? Like the whole show is about what happens when the government fucks you over. Sam Wilson gives back the shield and they immediately give it to a blonde haired, blue eyed white guy who's like mentally unstable. And they're like, you're Captain America, not Sam. Thanks, Sam, black guy, for giving us this shield so we can give it to a good white person. And then you have the Sharon Carter thing. You have Isaiah, who's screwed over by the government in a major way. Then you have, you could go John Walker, was betrayed by the government eventually. Even Bucky, of course, you know, was betrayed every which way because he kind of did a bunch of stuff. And so it was just betrayal. And it's every one of these people kind of reacts differently. And ultimately you have Captain America, Sam, who's like handles it the best. And he's like, yeah, you guys screwed me, but you know what? This is bigger than that. And I can't take it personally because I have to now carry this burden. Isaiah, I think, is like the next step down, where Isaiah says, yeah, they screwed me. I'm never going to recover. I'm an old grump. I'm not going to be happy, but you know what? You're the next generation, Sam. And I can see you doing it. He even says you're special, you know, and even though he says, yeah, you're no Martin or Malcolm, but even though he says like, he's like, you almost got me believing that bullshit. You know, like it was him saying like, you almost got me, but I'm still not there. But also, you know, how could you be a human and not be honored by the fact that you are now in like the Smithsonian or whatever? That's pretty cool. And then Sharon gets betrayed by the government and she takes it the opposite way. She goes, no, fuck the government. Fuck the US. I'm going to now use your secrets against you, make a lot of money and disrupt everything. And I think that's fascinating because honestly, what are they going to do with Sharon Carter anyway? Her whole story revolved around Steve. Steve's gone. It's kind of just like,
but not even that. It's just sort of like to me, it's a logical conclusion to her character. Her character is betrays the government to help out Captain America. Even if Captain America is, and then she's exiled. And yes, she knew that going into her choice, but experiencing it, living it is different. And then she has to struggle, go by, and then she's doing it in a post-blip world where everything's chaotic and really, really fucked up.
And she's in Madripoor.
Right. And you're kind of like, when that sort of happens, like the world kind of resets in a weird way, right? And like all bets are off. It's kind of the perfect time to change your identity anyhow. She's screwed. She's got no other options. And she goes to Madripoor because it's a good place to hide. Kind of makes sense what happens to her, right? And then it makes sense that she's bitter and angry and all the shit, and that she's done what she's done. Like she's got to survive, right? And there's no way to survive. Like survival for her on any kind of like up and up is impossible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it stands to reason. Yeah, this person who's really smart knows all this shit anyhow. Right. What else are you going to do it? What are you going to use it for? Right. You're going to use it for something, you know, and then she takes it even further with, you know, the super serum and all that stuff. I know I also saw some other people saying, you know, because of all that and everything that you just described, the government screwing over people and, you know, there's terrorists, there's like nationalists, there's this whole thing. Like people are like, this show's politically all over the fucking map. And I would kind of say like, I don't know, yes and no, but like, it's like, this shit's always going to be complicated, right? Like it's never going to be neat and even when you have, when you're trying to create this believable world. Like, think about it. If there was any superheroes now, right? Charles, you're frozen?
No, I'm good.
Oh, if there was any superheroes in the world now, there would be so much oversight. There'd be so much accountability. There's some people getting arrested, all shit. So that tension, and that kind of like back and forth is always going to be there, I think. Yeah. And I don't think it's going to ever easily be resolved. And I don't think it should be, because if you're going to try and do it believably, it's either like they literally just shut everybody down and there's no superheroes, or they create some sort of leeway and there's these issues with Sokovia and the Sokovia Accords. And I don't see how these shows can exist on a political way without some kind of like constant tension all the time. Otherwise, again, the only thing is you can say, if this is really, really, really believable, everybody just has to essentially like work for the government and or be arrested. There would be no superheroes and that's it, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to allow for some sort of suspension of disbelief or leeway in the idea of the government and the sort of gray area of all this stuff. So
I want to ask you guys about John Walker too, because he's kind of that gray area, right? Like he comes in, he wants to be Captain America. He accepts all this, you know, he's given the shield, he has the training, and his story is pretty well telegraphed. I mean, my wife watched it with me and she knew like the second she saw him, she's like, yeah, this isn't going to work out. So what did you guys think? Did you think that this was a worthy motivator to bring Sam back, or, you know, did they not stick the landing with Walker?
I like that they didn't make him an out and out bad guy.
They
embraced the gray area of the character, who is very much that way in the comics. Which is, I mean, it's complicated, but that's what makes it really interesting. If he was just all bad or all good, then it would have just been boring. But he has a lot of really complex emotional like scenes in this where you're like on his side sometimes, and then you're like, oh, he's off the deep end. So I like that you get to wrestle with that character, and they've done a really good job in this series and even WandaVision of making characters that have more depth and gray to them, the power broker being one of them.
Yeah, they're able to introduce John Walker and kind of give him a complete story without devoting two movies to him, which, yeah, you know, we don't need U.S. Agent movies, but it's good that they brought him in this.
But Wyatt Russell is fantastic. Like,
he really is
so good in this role.
He's really good in everything.
Yeah, that's true. He really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think people's tendencies are to be like, is he a good guy or is he a bad guy? What's the idea? People like buckets, but I like everything. I agree with what you said. Like, I think they did a good job. I think it was obviously very necessary to, with this sort of race play, you know, the way Sam gets fucked over and they gave it to him. I mean, that's such a smart writing decision. Like, how do you want to start the show about a show about whether Sam wants to take the shield or not? Like, those breadcrumbs lead you, like, oh, that's a really good choice of being like, yeah, well, he turns it down, but then they give it to fucking John Walker, this blonde blue guy that's so loaded, that's so charged. And it seems like, yeah, that just seems like something that the government, the American government would do. Yeah. So a lot of that stuff I just really liked, because they're always working in this way that they're trying to make things like that. There's that realism to it. Like, you know, it's obviously fantasy and it's, you know, these implausible things, but it's always grounded with some sort of plausibility. Like, you go, yeah, okay, that totally makes sense that they would try and fuck him over like that. You know, that they did him dirty at the end of episode one, big time, you know? So I don't know. But Walker, I didn't really like the way his story ended, though. I didn't like him being I didn't like him joining them all of a sudden, and there was them being his buddies all of a sudden. And at the same time, I get it, because in the heat of action, they're just kind of like, okay, well, I guess we need him, right? Like, there's no time to discuss.
The step too far for me. Yeah, the step too far for me was the Bucky Lincoln line thing, when they both just like, he basically like quipped, and it was just like, oh, we're best buds now. And he was like, no. But Bucky
shuts him down. He like shuts him down right away.
But not really, because, you know, I like the idea that he struggled with the idea of like, do I go after Carly or do I save this truck full of people? And he pulls him back, and that's really cool. I think it speaks a lot. And that was enough, I think, in my mind to just say, okay, he was a pawn in all this too. And his best friend just died. Like, he didn't ask for this. Or you could say, I guess he did. He
wasn't equipped for it.
He wasn't. And he was
a good soldier, but not necessarily the best man for the job.
Right. And I think by having him save the truck full of people was a good thing. I didn't need him to give the line and be like an aw shucks moment. I thought the end with him and Valentina, which we'll get to in a bit, I think that was great too, because it showed that he's kind of just a dork or like a doofus, and he was just this kind of soldier who was given this, like, you know, fame and fortune and instant icon status, and he got screwed out of it basically in his eyes, and now he's able to
do what they taught him to do.
Right. Well, I don't know if they would have taught him to murder a guy in a town square, but, like, you know,
he kind of alludes to some terrible stuff that they did earn those medals.
Well, so did Steve. I mean, when in First Avenger, we gloss over all of his World War II battles, but he was carrying a gun and going into warehouses too, you know, like, he killed people, but they were just Nazis. So it was,
you know, when he did it, it was fun.
Yeah. The music was fun. About
the show, right? Though which is another thing that's interesting, is that the world is more complicated now. The battle that Steve Rogers was fighting back then against the Nazis was pretty simple. Like, you know, these people wanted to fucking, you know, they're killing millions of people. They were like trying to take over the world. It was simple, you know, it was easy to root for this man. The world is now much more complicated. And the ideas of being a hero and what it means to be a hero is completely different.
Yeah. Now every country has a little bit of a portion that.
Right. And there's a whole
fighting thing. Nationalism. Even
Sam, like, you know, talks about that he believes in Carly's fight, but he doesn't believe in the way she's fighting it. And there's all that kind of stuff that I think is interesting. You know, it feeds into that idea that it's hard to be a superhero. I think thematically, I really, really love the show. I love everything that it's trying to talk about and discuss. I just don't think that it perfectly quite did it all that well. Like, I mean, it just doesn't come together in the end all that. There's just some stuff that's just too on the nose. The John Walker thing, I think, was really interesting was the "I'm back," you know.
He sees Valentina as like a good person, just trying to give him, you know, another shot.
I thought that was interesting because it was sort of ironic in a way that he's not aware of. Like he's like, "Yeah, I'm back. Everything's great," but it's not. Like
no,
he's like, you know, he is kind of a dumbass in that way. But to him, it's something. It's some way forward to continue in some kind of role. But like, you know, obviously she's gonna, you know,
use and abuse him even worse.
Yeah. There's something coming.
So Rodrigo, you mentioned that, you know, thematically the show is strong, but maybe the execution in various areas just didn't quite connect the dots how you wanted it to. So we are now done with two full Marvel series. We've seen WandaVision and we've seen Falcon and Winter Soldier, and both are kind of like polar opposites in a lot of ways, showing that Marvel's going to do this and that and kind of do a little bit of both. So now that we have two under our belts, what are you more or less excited for Loki and Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel, or are your anticipation tempered a little bit?
I think my anticipation is tempered, not because these shows weren't great, but I'm just like not looking forward to having to deal with like another Marvel series and another one. I think it's becoming
I'm all for it. I just like more. Give me Loki next fucking week.
I think it's too much. And I think I'm predicting that we're going to see one of the first, you know, we haven't really had a Marvel backlash since like the last time I think anybody really thought something Marvel was bad, or collectively critics and fans, you know, the consensus, I think was like Thor 2 was the last.
I would say Ultron.
I liked Ultron.
I would say Ultron though, because you even had Joss Whedon going out there and being like, you know, this movie kind of sucks.
I'm for it.
Yeah, I think I
mean, it's still $1.5 billion. I was just saying, like, you know, it's
I think I remember at the time like knocking Ultron and giving it like a C+ or something like that. But now I think it's a lot better than that. I still think it's got its problems. It's not amazing, but I think Thor 2 came after.
Yeah.
So Thor 2 is like I think the last time that everybody can pretty much agree, like, yeah, that's kind of a stinker, right? Yeah. And so they've had nothing but like what most people would perceive as hits and wins, right?
Yeah, because it had that post Avengers bump where made a ton of money, but it just wasn't very good.
I mean, if you look at it by phases, phase 3, which, you know, I think we can say is probably the strongest set of superhero movies of the entire MCU. Like, we got some real big ones there, and ending with Endgame and Far From Home, it was kind of like a perfect ending. It was like a whole story. But yeah, I agree. I think I'm not necessarily super psyched about Loki. I enjoy Marvel stuff. I'm not gonna, you know, deny that. But like, it is a lot, and it's not ending. Like, we're getting, like, we're saying that Loki's what in I guess June. But yeah. Even in May,
like, there's gonna be 6 series this year.
Yeah,
and
well, I was gonna say, like, MODOK. Even if you don't even want MCU stuff, MODOK's coming to Hulu in May. Like,
That would make it 7.
Yeah,
That would be 7 in total with shows, and then you'd have 3 movies, right? You're gonna have Black Widow
in like 4 months,
and Spider-Man 3, right? That's all that's coming this year.
Shang-Chi.
So 4. Yeah. 4 movies. 7 series. That's a lot, man.
4 movies in half a year. Yeah, July through December.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
If you would have told like 12-year-old me that, I would have been like, "Oh my god, can I time travel?" So, I know, I'm not complaining.
Right. I mean, I think we're going to see some stumbles, and I think we're going to see some kind of like tuning out. Although this one's interesting because I mean, WandaVision clearly grabbed the zeitgeist in a way that, like, been a big, big way. Like, seemed to be just as much as The Mandalorian. It was the biggest hit on Disney Plus, and this one did not at all. And yet, you know, Disney said, you know, well, that moment sort of, but
yeah.
But Disney said that you know, the first episode was the biggest watch series in all of Disney Plus history, over all of WandaVision, over all of Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And so what does that tell us? Does that tell us that, like, I mean, and yes, that's true. Is that kind of disconnect between, like, yes, just because everybody's talking about it on social media and everybody's going wild about WandaVision, maybe the reality is that, you know, this thing that some of people, like even myself, were like, this is a little bit more traditional MCU. Maybe that's what the overall aggregate of, you know, people want, you know, like, you know, not people who are on social media, maybe just like dudes or whatever who like at home. And like, so maybe it was a big hit because of that. I don't know. And then again, those things are hard to sort of trust in a way, like, because they just say,
we can't trust anything the studios say. Course, I mean, they control the narrative and the numbers. I mean,
like, why would they say that if it,
here's what I'll say. There are a couple of things. If you want to get nerdy on numbers for just a brief moment, you're getting more and more people every month on Disney Plus. So saying that something was more popular than it was in January is just well, no shit, because there's like 20 million more people watching. Okay. So, you know, okay. Yeah. But since you don't give me numbers, or you don't give me like a percentage of subscribers who tuned in sort of thing, like an apples to apples comparison, whatever. Yeah.
They're all benefiting from the work that WandaVision and Mandalorian have already done.
Well, like, that's, or the Disney brand. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
but we're not going to know anything. It's just like Netflix. The only way to know if something's a hit or not is if there's a second season, which leads me to my next question, which is, where does it go? Because this series ends with a title card, which I predicted, which is pretty obvious, but it was Captain America and Winter Soldier, right? And you're immediately thinking like, well, that's season two. And then Marvel lets slip, or the reports, that, oh no, we're going to do Captain America 4. And we're going to bring Malcolm Spellman from Falcon and Winter Soldier over to co-write with Dalen Moussen,
He wrote Ep 5.
Yeah. Well, he also did Iron Sky, if you guys didn't know. Okay. Remember that?
I mean, that doesn't thrill me, but cool.
But yeah, I just thought that was interesting. But yeah, so two guys from this show are going to go and write the script for Captain America 4, which we have to assume is following the story of Sam Wilson, not Chris Evans. Chris Evans probably won't show up. Maybe they'll throw him in there just to juice sales, whatever. Maybe Sebastian Stan. But now that we've seen the prequel, are you guys amped for Captain America 4?
I mean, the thing I was thinking upon the rewatch that I was doing today is, man, I wish this was like a tight 2.5 hours instead of having all that breathing room that we had. It might have been a better movie than a series.
Well, because like, then you have to cut Power Broker and stuff like that, maybe.
Yeah, I would have been so down with that. but I mean, I didn't mind it, but I didn't need it. But yeah, I mean, the Captain America trilogy is my favorite, but I really wish that Marcus and McFeely had at least some input there. I'm not saying don't give it to the guys that are doing the show. I think they definitely should, but
I mean, I get the reason why they're giving it to the guys who do the show.
Oh, absolutely. Me too.
It's also like, I don't, like you were saying, Falcon and the Winter Soldier was your least favorite Captain America movie. And I don't agree with that in the way that it's just a different thing.
Yeah,
I don't think you can rank them in that way. I mean, you can rank all the Marvel movies, but the Captain America movies are Captain America. This is a different character, a different person, different thing. To me, this starts like, even if they call it Captain America 4, which I'm sure they won't. To me, it's almost like the beginning of a new. It's a new trilogy or whatever it's going to be.
It's absolutely. It's own thing.
It's its own thing. It's his own character. He's a different person. It's a completely different thing. I was slightly surprised for them to announce Captain America 4 or the story, whatever, but
I think they had to.
Well, in some ways, because I was thinking, you know, they could probably just do another series. But they promised this, right? They said that we're gonna have series that goes into movies and movies go into series and this kind of thing. So you could conceivably do
Zemo and the Winter Soldier.
You could conceivably do a Captain America 4, which is essentially Captain America Sam Wilson number one, right?
Yeah.
And then that could also lead into the Falcon and the Winter Soldier season two. Like it could be, and so you could do the Cap 1, or you know, whatever, this Sam Cap 1. And that's a movie, and it's probably him, and it probably doesn't have Bucky, and maybe you bring
Joaquin,
right, and then have a little story there.
Can we talk about how great he was, just even in the like snippets we caught of him?
Yeah,
he was good, fantastic. Right? And then you could still dovetail back to season two, because they said they were going to try and do this thing. These things feed into it. So on that way, on that level, I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But from a story level, I was like, it wasn't the first thing that jumped out at me. I really thought that they would probably announce. But then again, oh, here's the other thing. I was thinking like, okay, maybe this is where you do all the Thunderbolts. And
so exactly. Is this Captain America versus the Thunderbolts or what?
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, maybe so, the whole thing like that. And then it becomes, which they're doing with all these fucking movies. It's a Captain America movie, but maybe it's going to be more along the lines of like Civil War. Yeah. And it's Cap, Sam, and you got Bucky, and you got New Falcon, and maybe you got somebody else, and it's against the Thunderbolts.
Patriot.
It becomes a big thing, right? Maybe even John Walker's on their team or whatever it is. And it becomes a, that's kind of what they do with these movies. You know, they're starting to become, every one of them is like a mini Avengers, like little thing. Like look at Thor 4, that's fucking huge. Doctor Strange has, the next Doctor Strange has Doctor Strange, Wanda, and American Chavez. They're building little things. Even Thor Ragnarok was, to me, in some ways, I used to always say Thor Ragnarok was the beginning of that, because that was a big team, right? It was like Thor, the Hulk, Loki,
Valkyrie,
Korg.
Yeah. and that was their team, right? But then when you think about it, that goes back all the way back to Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier was Cap, Nick Fury, Black Widow, right? So that was their, you know, they've been, and then Falcon, right? Because Falcon's in the, so that's four heroes total in Winter Soldier. So it kind of goes back to Captain America's the Winter Soldiers when they started doing that. They started eventizing these things and making, like, you know, a whole, it was a movie about that character, and they always do that, and they thread that very well, but they put a whole supporting cast of a team there around it. I think Winter Soldier became the model, and then they kept doing that. They did it, they very much did it in Ragnarok, and it seems like that's what they're doing and everything. So at first I was like, I don't know if Sam's ready for his own movie yet, but then I thought, oh, if they do it like that and they do it with Thunderbolts, boom, big event.
Well, so here's my thing. I think they had to announce either season 2 or a movie like ASAP, because they're doing, you know, pull back a curtain a little bit. They're doing another round of media blitz on this show now that it's wrapped up. And that's going to be the question on everybody's mind is, well, where's Sam going next? So they had to have something. They had to have some answer for that. But also, my question for you guys now is, we've had this 6-episode prequel series to Captain America 4. Will, obviously not everybody's going to watch this show before they go to Cap 4. So are they just hoping that, you know, that Cap 4 is going to be another reintroduction? Or are we just going to say, like, for people who didn't watch the show, Sam Wilson at the end of Endgame took up the shield, got a new suit, and whoop-bam, we're off.
I think boy, people are going to be watching these shows, man. Like, mega popular, and like, and also
that's a big ask, though, right?
Marvel's got it.
Yes,
they also got people on the hook.
And let's say you don't watch any of this series, right? But you're really into the movies, for whatever reason, you're just not really enough to watch all the series. If you're not into the movies, and Cap 4 comes out, let's say 2023. That's plenty of time to be like, before it comes out, like, okay, maybe I have not even watched one Marvel Disney Plus series in that time, and all I've done is watch movies. I'm probably going to catch up on Captain America and the Winter Soldier to see what happens. That's not a big ask. Like, that's for years, right? Like, when is that going to, 2023 at the earliest, 2024? Like, you know, these things, like, most of it's already mapped out. So
that, and look at Civil War as like a blueprint. Like, there was, it's a movie that stands alone, but there's a ton of stuff going on in there that's calling back and expecting you to just be kept up as far as the ongoing MCU saga goes. So they're pretty good at making sure that the fans get their extra bits, but if you're just walking into this movie, it's going to make sense. So
look at on Disney Plus now, right, where they do those legends or whatever, those things, those series where it recaps everything, and it tells you, like, you know, like, here, in case you forgot, like, here's basically the story of this person up until this point.
Are they going to start showing those, like, Pixar shorts and before Marvel movies?
Yeah, maybe.
I wouldn't even put it past them. I think it'd be genius, actually. They should. You mentioned the Thunderbolts, so I think we need to talk about that as, you know, another thing that kind of was teased in this show outside of the new Captain America, which is, at the end of the series, like we said, John Walker is redubbed U.S. agent by Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, or Val. as her friends call her, for they get, she gives a card and says, I'll be calling you for dot, 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 something, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a fan of the comics, you just put it together like, oh, she's probably recruiting some sort of Dark Avengers slash Thunderbolts team. So that said, there are also rumors, this isn't a spoiler because it's all speculative, that she'll show up in Black Widow and, you know, we'll see her as kind of, they even called her the darker Nick Fury. So
Right there, that connotes like he's putting together something.
So where are we going to see Thunderbolts?
Well, whatever it is, and maybe it's not going to be Thunderbolts, maybe it's not going to be Dark Avengers or whatever, but they're building to something, let's face it.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is what they do. Like, you know, so people always say, like, in some ways that they go, oh, these shows are just like a setup for this. And I'm like, I don't think so. Like, I think that, like, again, for the Falcon and Winter Soldier was a story about legacy and identity and this guy's emotional story of coming to terms with who he's supposed to be in this. That's what that's about. It's not about setting up something else. What they do is sow seeds. And that's completely fine. They've done that throughout the history of Marvel. In Age of Ultron, they show fucking Claw, Ulysses Claw. And it's Age of Ultron a setup for Black Panther? No. It's a thing. They use this character and it's a seed, right? And it comes into fruition later. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. So when people say these things are, oh, this is just a setup for this other movie, I'm like, sometimes that can be true in superhero movies. I don't think that's the case here at all. Like, some things happen, and yes, but they're sowing seeds. And so I think with a lot of this stuff, I don't think Thunderbolts are going to appear anytime soon. I think another seed's going to pop up here and another one there and there. And you're going to see John Walker, he's the first one that's come up, and then Val, and then something will come down the road. Maybe we'll see Thunderbolt Ross in Black Widow. And maybe that'll, you know, percolate something that could be another possibility. And maybe another character shows up. And
Zemo's already chilling.
Right. Zemo's chilling in jail. So these things. And it's like young Avengers is the same thing. We're going to see seeds of these characters. It's not like these things aren't setting up a young Avengers movie. It's just the seeds. We've had America Chavez is coming. Cassie is coming. Who have we seen? We saw
Eli Bradley. Eli Bradley
showed up for a minute. And even for the few seconds that he's in, I was like, oh, this kid's handsome. He's like, he seems to be built. I'm like, okay, I could see that. I could see that going somewhere.
His agent is also on the phone with Marvel, like, he's ready to go. Let's do it.
And so was there any other ones that have been
We're getting Kate Bishop, obviously.
So they're gonna be doing those things, but that's still gonna take time, right? Like, that's gonna be like 2 or 3 years, and then that comes to fruition later. Like, you're not gonna, I mean, I know a lot of people are here, oh, we're gonna get a big young Avengers movie. I'm like, yeah, maybe 2024 or 2025. Like, it's like they slowly introduce these people, we get them, and then something happens. I mean, Ant-Man 3 doesn't even have a date, right?
I don't know if it has a date or a specific time, but
I think we all know it's 2023 because everything else is full. So, so you just think about it, that like a lot of these things are just not going to come immediately. They're just introduced and seed sown. And so that's what I think is going to happen with whatever turns into, whether it's Thunderbolts or Dark Avengers, that.
Should it be a series or a movie? What do you think?
I think that it'll probably culminate in a movie. Like, you'll get every one of these characters to pop up over the next 2 years or whatever, and then maybe the end of 2022, maybe, like, the team that you know would be the team, even if they're not a team yet, the people that you know that would be in there have been all introduced in the MCU, they're all there, and then maybe 2023 is when Cap 4 comes out, and that's kind of perfect, right?
Yeah, I
do these things. It's like, it seems like, you know, like, that's how they do it. Like, And let's face it, they already did that from the very beginning. It was Iron Man, Cap, Hulk, and then big movie, right? Like, that's what they do. Introduce everybody. You get a moment to know them. And then sometimes they'll be like in the introducing of the next one, that one that you met earlier, like the way Iron Man shows up at the end of Hulk or whatever. Like, you know, you get that a little bit, you know, these people. So, but that's essentially how it works. And I think it's worked really well for them, obviously. Like,
this whole, they're doing all right.
Yeah, they're doing okay. So,
I mean, if you take the Thunderbolts concept from the comics, like the original Thunderbolts concept, which is led by Baron Zemo, where it was Zemo and his Masters of Evil decide to be fake superheroes because the world doesn't have an Avengers anymore, and they use it as a way to like kind of ingratiate themselves into the public. You could see, like, you know, we don't have a quote unquote Avengers anymore because of Endgame, and just, you know, it's kind of disbanded. There's not even a place for them. I could very well see a Thunderbolts movie being that sort of idea of like, here are these characters, these B characters, you know, Yelena from Black Widow, and, you know, John Walker and all these people, the new Avengers, right? And then everybody's just like, you know, kind of like how they reacted to John Walker in this, or like, this isn't right. And then, you know, that could lead into something. So I wouldn't be shocked. I
see them getting their own movie, like good guy, like their own
like a Suicide Squad type.
Yeah, I don't see them getting their own movie. I see them being like the like a central part of a Cap movie or something like that. Even if they're not the bad guys, even if it's not you know, maybe it's similar to Winter Soldier, whereas like, because the Winter Soldier in a way it was a triangle, right? It was, or Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it was Power Broker, Flag Smashers, and the good guys, right? It was a bit of a triangle. Like, it could be a similar thing where it's like Sam and whoever, then some real antagonist, and then the Thunderbolts trying to be good guys but complicating the whole thing.
Yeah,
like it could go down in that kind of way.
So another, we mentioned Eli and Joaquin. These are our characters. Again, Marvel now has gotten to the point where they just tease you by saying like, okay, we're going to bring in Joaquin Torres. We don't know if we're going to use him in the future, but
keep him.
Yeah.
You know that's going somewhere when he told
Well, me. But eventually, you know, we assume that, you know, they've got to put like 7 shows out a year that has to do something. So do you guys think that we got more Joaquin Torres coming and Eli Bradley, or is this just one off, like, you know, like Rodrigo said, just sowing some seeds and seeing what happens?
They know where they're going. But at this point, I think they've learned to not just sow seeds for the sake of sowing seeds. If they're putting it in there, they're doing it purposefully. So you can bet that Young Avengers and Thunderbolts are going to pop up, and you can bet that he's going to be the new Falcon in the new Cap movie or whatever it is. So I don't think that would be surprising at all. I would be surprised if it didn't go somewhere. That's just poor storytelling at that point.
Yeah. I think the way like Feige sets it up, though, I think he's being honest. It's like, we'll see how this goes. You know, he's never commits to anything. And I think that's kind of the right way to do it. It's like, you're going to introduce these characters, and then the idea is ideally you want to go into a Young Avengers movie or whatever. But they don't kind of commit to it right away, because they kind of want to see how it all pans out and how people take to some of these characters and stuff. And that seems pretty genuine to me in a way, you know, maybe,
but it always goes their way. Like,
yeah, I mean, so far, I mean, you know, but I don't know, you know, things have changed for them, even though, you know, they tried to introduce Black Panther way early and that didn't happen. They tried
Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah.
They filmed Captain Marvel in Ultron.
Yeah, the plate for her, yeah.
And Wasp even, didn't they? I think she's part of the script or something. Like,
yeah, something like that. They've had things where they decided, you know, Black Panther was going to be introduced way earlier. I think they tried to introduce Doctor Strange way earlier. And, you know,
they mentioned him, yeah.
Inhumans was something that they tried to do with the movie, and then they decided not to.
That wasn't a Feige thing, though.
No.
I think Feige has, I don't know if he's gone on record as saying this, but I think he's hinted at that was the Ike Perlmutter era, where he was like, we're going to make Inhumans a thing. And he's like, I don't know. And then they split up Marvel and Marvel Studios. And that's when you saw Inhumans go to ABC. Right. And Feige's like, screw the TV show. So,
yeah. But it's not like everything that they said, you know, like them. You remember they tried to do a Runaways movie. And that didn't work. And then they decided to, I think this is what happened, because I think they tried to do a Runaways movie. He didn't like the script, and they decided to, and then he gave it to Ike, and then Ike put it on Hulu, right? Or Jeff Loeb and those guys put it on Hulu. And I think Inhumans is the same way. They put a script together for Inhumans, because he did announce a movie. You remember that time when they announced that, like, that was the
very... Vin Diesel was going to be Black Bolt, or he wanted us to believe that.
Yeah, but they did announce it. Do you remember the logo and the whole thing, and had a release date and everything?
Yep.
That didn't happen. And I think that was because, like, that script is like, they were like, oh, we're not sure about it. And then Ike's like, well, then I'm going to take it or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And they never even started planting seeds for that one.
Right.
I don't think he had any faith in it.
No, I honestly don't either. And so, not having faith, let's talk about the future just in terms of the TV series. Rodrigo thinks that one of these series coming up is going to be a bomb. I want you guys to tell me which
bomb,
relative bomb.
I think people.
Which one do you think it's going to be? Which one is going to hit with a thud?
Could be Hawkeye.
I think Mike just hates Hawkeye, which is funny because now we finally have Rodrigo here to defend Hawkeye.
I don't really want to defend Hawkeye anymore. I used to be a big Hawkeye fan and I used to like root for the underdog kind of thing, but I really didn't like.
And then you heard Jeremy Renner's music.
If they really, yeah, exactly.
I saw his app, then I heard his music and I got sick of defending him. And
if they really stick to the Matt Fraction stuff, I think it could be interesting, but we'll see. We'll see. It's that and Miss Marvel are probably the ones I'm looking forward to. I think Loki looks great. I'm in the bag for that.
See, Loki, I think, is the bummer. I enjoy the trailer. I think Owen Wilson is always fun, you know? But I think that of all the series, that feels the most, like, inconsequential. Like, if I'm going to skip one, that's the one I'm going to skip.
I think
you're going to miss so much,
I think,
dude.
That could be the case. Like, I think so many hardcore Marvel fans are so excited for Loki, and I think Loki might be the one that doesn't really hit with like mainstream audiences who don't feel like they need to watch it because it's not in continuity. It doesn't really affect anything that's going on. And
I don't know. Like my sisters are really excited about Loki. That's because they love Tom Hiddleston and everything, all these movies. I mean, he really captured like the general public, this Loki character. So I think he might have some
super charismatic. I am not interested in the story so much. Mm. I'm kind of just like, but I'm not against it. I'm just sort of like, I don't know what this is going to be. It seems like this multiverse weird kind of, it seems like it's a little bit.
Doctor Who.
Yeah. It's also a little, it's just like nerdy, very like very Marvel-y in Marvel, like, you know, rabbit hole-y kind of like some like I'm could, if it's good, it's good. I don't care. But from the outset, I'm kind of like, I like the idea because I think you're right. Everything you said about Tom, he's so charming. He has captivated people. But I'm just like him in another realm, and I don't know. Maybe it'll be interesting. But yeah.
The bummer is that this is the one with like Gugu and Badara and Owen Wilson, and I'm sure there are other A-listers we don't even know there's going to show up in it. And it's like that's the one where I. You know, you said your sisters are into it, Mike. My wife saw it and was like, meh, whatever. You know, she's like, I'll watch it because you'll watch it. And I was like, well, yeah, I kind of have to. But that's the one, again, I can't muster up the enthusiasm for. Like I can for a Hawkeye.
I'm most excited for.
I'm also not saying like bomb in the way, but I'm thinking like people maybe after a while, like again, we just said four movies and maybe let's say six stories. Yeah, the fatigue that's going to come in. And then also it just become a kind of sameness in that, let's say Hawkeye rolls around and let's say, put it this way. If Hawkeye is as good as Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it's going to be seen as worse, right? Because it's going to be how many shows later?
Yeah.
How many movies later? Hawkeye's not going to come out to December. So if Hawkeye is exactly the same quality as Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it will be seen as the worst thing of all of this year because it's going to be the last of all of them, right? And people are going to be, you know what I mean? So unless something before it is even worse, but if it's that same quality, seven or eight projects later, is, you know what I mean? It's going to fatigue people and they're going to go, when on its own merits, maybe it's not really that bad. Maybe it's okay enough as same as Falcon, but because of saturation, that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of things, if they are not top notch, by the time the 10th thing comes around, people are going to be like, ugh, you know what I mean? So I think you're going to see a lot of that where people aren't looking at them on their own merits of whether it was good or not. And more like I've seen 11 Disney Plus Marvel shows now. And I'm starting to get, you know, it's starting to feel all the same or whatever, you know, just because of that. I think that's how people are going to react to.
As long as they give everything its own identity. They have a shot at making it out of this year alive, but
you could argue that Marvel doesn't. You could argue that Marvel doesn't have a good track record of giving everything its own identity. We we look with rose-colored glasses because we see like WandaVision and we're like, ooh, that's so unique. But like, that's an anomaly, right? Like, this was very much Cap 3.5. And, you know, the tone is very similar to Marvel things of the past, even though maybe it's a little different in terms of the politics. But I mean, at some point, I doubt there's going to be a lot in Ms. Marvel, let's say, that's going to differentiate itself from a Hawkeye or a Falcon or...
Well, that's like a teen adventure. So that has, potential to be its like own thing.
There's the patina of Marvel that sort of invades everything. But then you do get a lot of sort of subgenres in stuff, right? Like WandaVision was different. It was very, you know, it was this sitcom-y thing or whatever. It was very different. And then you got this thing that was more sort of like harkening back to Civil War and Winter Soldier, much more traditional. And they were actually going to start, that was supposed to kick off the Disney Plus in a way, because I think it was sort of safe. I think like WandaVision to them might have been like, this is a little too risky as a starter, and you know, look how it paid off, right? So like, the risks do kind of pay off in that way. But to that end, Loki could be totally radically, really, you know, at least in relatively radically different from, you know, it seems like Loki looks completely different than both those.
It does look to have its own feel for sure.
And I'm assuming, like you said, Miss Marvel is going to be a teen show. Hawkeye is going to be this thing with, you know, Kate Bishop. I think they're probably going to give more of it to Kate Bishop than him, because of all the sort of, you guys have probably heard some of the rumors about his character and the direction that they go in and stuff. So like,
Yeah. And Haley Steinfeld's the future. Come on.
Of everything.
She's good in Bumblebee. I haven't watched this stupid Apple Plus TV show though, so I don't know. But okay, I think we've about exhausted our Marvel talk for the night. I want to thank Rodrigo for joining us and nerding out like you do. And thank you, Mike, for joining us as well. And thank you, Zemo, for staring at Mike's head the entire time.
And thank you for dancing the way you did. It became a meme for us.
It was delightful.
That's the thing. Okay, just real quick. Every show now has to have a meme. Every Star Wars has to have a baby Yoda. Every Marvel show has to have a meme. Oh, boy. I don't know how they're going to keep it up.
We'll see. Tune in next time for Loki.
Oh boy. See you in June.
Yeah. All right.